Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Mast is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Tom is our petroleum expert. Tom has a master's degree from Stanford and an MBA from Harvard. He's a very smart guy, and he's the author of Over a Barrel, and for his entire life, he's made a career in the world of engineering and science and in those industries, and he's here to answer every single one of my questions about petroleum. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, and you're that's right, isn't it? You're here to answer every single one of my questions, right?
Right.
I didn't say you had to answer them correctly, just answer them. Tom, now, folks, in the interest of full disclosure, I have to tell you that I'm going to ask Tom a lot of short-term questions and some long-term questions, and he's going to have some... He's going to have better answers for my long-term questions, because that's really the world he lives in, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, I prefer to think seriously about the coming shortages of oil rather than the spikes in oil prices and gasoline prices.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. Let's talk about the area that you feel more comfortable in, and then I'll shake you up at the end with my short-term questions. Long-term... I believe, Tom, that the United States of America needs to become more energy independent. And we've been saying this now for 30-something years now, right? And we've got to become more energy independent, not only from an economic standpoint, but from a national security standpoint. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right on that. Two-thirds of the world's oil production comes from the Middle East. Oil is a fungible commodity. China starts buying more oil from anywhere in the world, then it makes it harder for other countries, including the United States, to get oil.
And it's one, so, that's one of the reasons why oil prices have gone up lately, isn't it? Because the demand has been so high in other areas.
Well, that's right. The demand around the world is high, and China continues to use more and more oil and build more roads and build more cars, And that's fine. That's what we did, and they have every right to do the same thing. But there's a limited amount of oil on Earth, and the oil that's being found these days, what little of it there is, it is very expensive to produce. It's I just read recently in the northern parts of Russia, where they have a huge oil field, they have a $10 billion cost overrun on developing
Wow.
the oil field, and the oil and the deep oceans off of Africa and the Gulf of Mexico and off of Brazil are increasingly expensive to develop, and of course hurricanes can be disruptive to that. So when we do find oil, it's very, very expensive. So
has anybody ever studied, Tom? Has anybody ever studied or contemplated what's happening to the space where the oil is being taken out of? I mean, that oil has got to be some kind of a support system, you know, overall for the crust of the Earth, I would think, in some ways.
Well,
has anyone ever contemplated that?
Not to my knowledge. Many people think oil comes from vast caverns down under the Earth, but that's not true. It comes from porous rocks, and so when the oil seeps out of these rocks, the rocks are still there, and they're still supporting what's above them. And so,
it also comes from sands, though, too, doesn't it?
Well, it does in primarily in Canada and also in Venezuela, but generally those are surface mined, not totally, but for the most part,
mines,
and so they don't have to support anything once they're removed.
What is your opinion of the best technology that we should be focusing on for alternative energy?
Well, I think plug-in hybrids have a lot of future. The thing that most people don't realize is is its portability and its energy density. You can drive into a filling station and fill your tank up in a imagine driving into a filling station and filling up with nuclear energy or hydroelectric energy or natural gas or some of the other sources of energy, then you quickly get an idea of how important oil is. And oil supplies...
It's handy. It's not just important. It's handy.
It's handy, and it supplies... Therefore, it supplies 97% of the world's transportation fuel. Mm-hmm. So you ask what I think would be a good technology. I think plug-in hybrids are a good technology because a plug-in hybrid allows automobiles, which are most of transportation, to run, for the most part, on electricity. And the electricity then can be generated by any source of energy, natural gas, coal, nuclear energy, nuclear
Tom,
fusion,
I was reporting with Kiplinger the other day on my show, and they estimated that because of the increased production and use of these plug-in hybrid automobiles you're talking about, that may increase the drain on our electricity grid by 10% over the next, and I forgot how many years, but they were projecting that we were going to need that much more electricity because of these plug-in hybrids. What do you think?
Well, they're absolutely right. If we do develop better batteries, and we haven't done that yet, and if we do shift most of our transportation energy from oil to electricity, then that electricity has to come from somewhere. It's nothing's free in engineering, and the electricity has to be generated by power plants, which can be coal-fired or nuclear-fired or natural gas. But still,
there's a consumable. There's something being consumed.
Well, that's absolutely right. And
right.
If it's natural gas or coal, it's a hydrocarbon, and both of those generate carbon dioxide, which causes global warming. And coal, in particular, is bad, and coal is most plentiful. So that's a big rubbing point, and that leads us to say that we need to be rethinking nuclear energy.
One of the things that I'm not going to try to change your words, but you said it causes global warming. My opinion is it may cause an increase in global warming. We've been having global warming for about 10,000 years now. But when we come back, I'm going to get Tom to talk a little bit more about what we just talked about. And then I'm going to ask him some of my short-term questions. He can't wait for that, too, by the way. 20 after, I'm Jim Bisingame. Tom Masters, our guest. His book is called Over a Barrel. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out. Thanks for using it to your advantage. It will help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog while you're there. Tom Mast is our guest. He's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's our petroleum expert. His book is called Over a Barrel, A Simple Guide to the Oil Shortage. And Tom, tell us where the book's available and give us your website too, please.
The website is www.overabarrelbook.com. And the best thing is to order the book online from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. That's Tom Mast, M-A-S-T. Okay, Tom, I want to get you back on another day to talk about global warming. I don't want to dwell on that because that's a whole topic we can talk about in the future. But I want you to let's help out our small business listeners right now and talk about, you know, they're saying, okay, Tom, I get it. I know we should be buying hybrids, and okay, I'll look into that. But right now, I got trucks on the road. I need to know how to budget for the rest of the year. Can you help them out a little bit? What's right now? Gas is, or petroleum, I should say, crude oil is $60 a barrel, roughly $1 one way or the other. But gas prices, in the past, when petroleum was $60 a barrel, gas was closer to $2 than it is today. Why is it so high?
Well, gasoline has jumped up smartly recently, And I was curious about the issue myself. It hasn't risen as much as oil recently, although oil has risen some in the past few weeks. We have summer coming on. There can be constrictions in refineries, which can cause the price of gasoline to rise while the price of oil is not rising as much. I don't know that that's happening, but that could be one of the factors. Oil is also used for heating in the eastern part of the country.
Right.
And the weather has been quite cold here lately. But again, that's oil. That's not gasoline.
But what happened to global warming if the winter's been so cold? That's going to be my question to Al Gore. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take a shot there. I didn't mean to get back into global warming. But what do you think is going to be in your best efforts, which you always give us? Where do you think we'll be, say, 9 months from now with petroleum, the price of petroleum? You got any idea?
I think it will be more or less what it is now. I think if the world's economy were to continue to be very robust, that it will trend upward. But it appears we may have a little breather in the world's economy. Things may be slowing down a little bit after a long run. And if that's true, just a little bit of that will take the pressure off of oil. The world burns.
It will also take the pressure, unfortunately, off of the fervor to develop new technologies.
Well, it does that, all right. And we've seen some of that in the last year or so. There hasn't been as much excitement about the price of oil and the price of gasoline as there was when gasoline prices got up around $3. But still, we're seeing some nice progress. You know, I'm reading much more about plug-in hybrids than I did a year or two ago, and I think that's very encouraging.
That's going to be the first step, isn't it? Not hydrogen. The first step in the transition away from hydrocarbons in our automobiles is going to be the plug-in hybrids, isn't it?
Well, I think plug-in hybrids very encouraging. As we were discussing a few minutes ago, oil is used for 97% of transportation in the world, and that the reason is because it's convenient. It's portable. You can just pump 20 gallons into your car and go 300 miles, and you can't do that with other forms of energy like coal or hydroelectric or nuclear. You could do that with electric. If electricity, you could easily charge your battery or swap batteries and design cars around those batteries. We do need better batteries than we have, and that's the big hurdle for electric cars, whether they be fully electric or whether they be plug-in hybrids with an auxiliary gasoline engine. But anyhow, if they will run on electricity, then the power can be generated by any source of electricity, any source of energy, hydroelectric, wind, solar, nuclear, mm-hmm. coal, all of the above. And so in the Pacific Northwest, the cars might run ultimately on hydroelectric energy, and in Arizona they might run on wind energy. And so that gives us tremendous flexibility. So I'm very encouraged about
Are you seeing technology being developed more and more for electric automobiles?
Yes, you read every day more and more about that, and the major automobile companies are beginning to invest in that, which is a huge sea change for them.
Some politicians
are going to have to do something different.
Politicians are going to have to make this a national goal, aren't they?
Well, they are, but politicians. I didn't have much confidence in politicians 5 years ago, and my estimation of them has gone way down.
Certainly. You and I are in the same boat on that one. Tom Mast, thank you. Give us your website again, please.
www.overabarrelbook.com.
Overabarrelbook.com. That's the name of the book, Over a Barrel. Tom Mast is the author. Tom, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks for having
me. We'll see you next time. Tom Mast, ladies and gentlemen, that's M-A-S-T. Got to go for just a few minutes. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be right back with Lori Baldwin. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.